Ezekiel 37, one of the strangest stories, one of the strangest chapters in the Bible. You know, if you read the Bible with a pretty active imagination, this story here could give you nightmares, I will tell you. So be careful getting too much into it, but an amazing story. And let me read it to you, beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest, and O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Heavenly Father, as we look at these different biblical mindsets, Lord, I pray that you'll help us, dear Lord, to become everything that you would have us to be, Lord, so that we can truly learn to make a difference in this world. Lord, I think it's an awesome thing when a Christian discovers that through your power, they can literally make a change in people's lives. Lord, whether it's an individual or whether it's a group, they can alter the future. They can change the circumstances. And Lord, a drastic story, but one where we certainly can illustrate this truth. So help us as we think about this today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the thinking pattern we're going to try to be reminded of, and I've taught this one before a few times probably in the past, but here's the title of it, Thermometer or Thermostat. Thermometer or Thermostat. And I think most of you know the difference. A thermometer just simply reflects the temperature of the room. Whatever the temperature of the room is, a thermometer will rise or fall to that temperature. And so it will. You may bring it in, it may be a different temperature, but if you hang it on the wall, you know what it'll do? It'll just go to whatever the temperature of the room is. Now, the thermostats that we have, one back here and one back there, that's a whole different deal. A thermostat does not reflect the temperature of the room. A thermostat has the power to change the temperature of the room. And so I think that that is something as Christians we need to understand, is that God did not put us onto this earth. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yet so many Christians, they are thermometers. They really are. I've got some of our young people that, you know, they're not bad kids. In every group of young people that's ever been here, there's always been the ones that just are more thermometer than they are thermostat. But they got to grow up in that area of their life. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if they're around spiritual young people, you know what? Then they raise the temperature of their spirituality to reflect the people they're around. But you catch them 4 hours later hanging with the wrong crowd, and you know what? Their temperature, they'll lower the temperature. And next thing you know, they reflect whatever the temperature is according to the group that they're with. And so one of the things we have to understand is that God did not bring us here for the world to control us, but through his power for us to change the world. And again, I love it when a Christian discovers that you, yes, you can have the power to change the temperature in the room. And so one of the things you've got to watch in your young people, what I just mentioned, parents, stay on top of this thing. If you see your kid that just keeps, you know, they just always adjust to wherever they're at, well, you need to sit down and teach them this principle and challenge them in this area of their life to not just adjust to wherever, you know, sometimes people use the term positive peer pressure. I don't like that term. Say, well, you know, you get enough good kids, you know, then they can cause some of the other ones to rise to the, well, I understand that that's true, but if a person's changing because of peer pressure, then they'll change when it's negative peer pressure. And so, yeah, I know sometimes we can bring kids in and they can kind of learn from our core kids and raise their game. But if it's no deeper than the crowd they're with, then you know what? Come Monday morning, they head to the public school, they'll go right back to wherever they were. And this is where we've got to teach the young people that the Lord has the ability to use them to change the environment, to change people around them. Here we have this story, an amazing story. In fact, I wrote a book, a little booklet entitled, Is Your Youth Group Dead or Alive? How Valley of Dry Bones Became an Exceeding Mighty Army. And here Ezekiel is carried by the Lord into the midst of a valley. The Bible says it was full of bones. And then he caused him in verse 2 to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. The open valley, the word open there comes from a word where it means the turning of the face. And so literally, he was dropped in the middle of this, and he literally turned his face. We know it was a large valley. As far as he could look to the right, to the left, all the way around, to as far as he could look to the right, all he could see was a valley full of dry bones. Now, here's the question, Ezekiel. What are you going to do? Can these bones live? What a question. Can these bones live? In other words, Ezekiel, are you going to become like the dry bones? Hey, a lot of Christians, you put them in that valley, pretty soon they'd be just as dry as the bones around them. But God said, hey, can these bones live? And he said, I loved his answer. He said, thou knowest. In other words, Lord, you know what? I don't see how it's possible, but I guess if you want it to be, it will be. If you decide it's going to be, it will be, is what he was answering there. But you know what? God said, I'm going to use you. You know, God didn't have to bring Ezekiel to that valley.
Yes, sir.
Okay, God isn't dependent on any man. God had the power, if he wanted to show up all by himself. But aren't you glad that God includes us in the process of changing the world for the Lord Jesus Christ? And literally, maybe I need to meet with our teens and just talk to some of them, because I just feel like, you know what, if I put some of our teenagers in there, some of them would march out with an army, and some of them, leave them there a day or two, they'd be laying on the ground as dry as the bones. And we've got to decide as adults what we're going to do in these situations. Are you going to be a thermometer, or are you going to be a thermostat? Think about that. So what does the Lord tell Ezekiel to do here? He says, he asked him the question, you know, can these bones live? And then he said, I love this, verse 4, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. You know what that means? Preach at the bones, preach to them. That's what it says. And then he says, tells them exactly what he wants them to preach to him, to them. And first of all, he had him go up and down the valley and pass by and see the present condition. Parents, let me help you with this. You know what? Somebody's got to properly evaluate the situation when it comes to your children, your young people. I think leadership always is honest about what the situation is. And he asked him, he said, what do you see here? I see a valley full of dry bones. He said, yeah, there's many of them, and they're very dry. You know, it's one thing to see people for where they are. It's another thing to have a vision about to see them what they could be. And I think this is the great truth of this portion of Scripture. I know that there's a prophetic interpretation concerning the nation of Israel. But in a very practical interpretation, it's teaching us the fact that, you know what? Hey, we can make a difference. God can use you to make a difference. A Sunday school can go into a Sunday school class that's basically made up of a bunch of dry bones, but you know what? If they'll open this book, by the way, the key is the Word of God. You know, think about that. They open this book and they teach the Bible through the power of the Word of God. You know what? Then, you know what? A difference can begin to be made in their lives. And he said, I want you to preach to them, verse 4. He said, I'm going to give you the exact message I want you to preach. Yeah, here, end of verse 4. Oh, you dry bones. Now, let's stop there. So the first thing that Ezekiel did was get their attention by calling them what they were. Calling them what they were. You know, and again, I don't know. I just feel like we're in a day and age where, can we be honest with Christians? Can we be honest with ourselves? You know, can we call it as it is? Can we say this is the condition you're in? We just going to walk around imagining we're an army when we're a bunch of dry bones? You know, at some point, somebody's got to get up and speak the truth. You know, they've got to say what it is. But you know what? It's one thing to say this is where you're at. It's another thing to offer hope of what you could be. And that's so important. That's what leadership does. Parents, that's what leadership does. Grandma, grandpa, that's what leadership does. That's what a pastor needs to do. That's what a youth pastor needs to be. That's what a Christian school teacher needs to have. A principal needs. Anybody that's in a leadership position, don't put rose-colored glasses on and refuse to see the issues and the problems. But also, don't just be a problem identifier, okay? Be a problem solver. Give people hope. But I think one of the challenges that we face in today's society is just getting people to be honest with God and honest with themselves about where they really are. And if we're a dry bone, then we ought to say, hey, you know what? God called it right. And, you know, I resist the idea, oh, people are too fragile. And Christians are too fragile, and we have to tone down our preaching, and people can't take it like they used to. You know what? I think that's an insult to Christians. I think it's an insult to today's young people. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. What I've found generally is true is that most Christians, down deep, they know they need help. And they're glad when somebody's honest enough with them. By the way, in love. But honest enough with them to say, hey, this is where you're at. Now, do you want help? Because God can do a miracle. And you know what? One thing to preach and identify the problem. Another thing to give them hope, give them a solution. And so he says, this is who you are and this is where you are. God said it. But he said, let me tell you what God can do, what he wants to do. And so he breaks it down step by step. And again, There is preaching that goes on. I go to a lot of camps and conferences through the years, and I'll hear youth, sometimes a youth speaker preach against a sin or preach and identify a problem. And they'll preach against that sin, or they'll preach against that character trait, or they'll preach against that shortcoming. And they'll wax eloquent for quite a while going through the Bible and showing all the places where God condemns it. But the problem is, at the end of that, a lot of times the message, they just stop. And they give an invitation, and yeah, the kids probably see it, and they're under conviction, and they may even come to an altar and acknowledge the problem. But folks, listen to me again. Identifying a problem without offering a solution, telling them, okay, this is where you're at, but this is how you overcome that. Okay, this is your weakness, but you know what? This is where you get strength. And I don't think you'll find one thing in the Bible where one sin in the Bible where God identifies it, condemns it, but doesn't give us a solution to it. And so one of the things that I think, again, I'm kind of talking to parents, is if you're not careful, a lot of times you can identify a problem in a child and keep pointing it out and pointing it out and pointing it out. Have you ever given them a biblical formula on how to overcome that? I'll give you, for instance, you know, I did a study in my late teenage years on the subject of boldness and boldly. I took those three words and studied it out. You know why? Because I really lacked boldness in my Christian life. And, you know, it's crazy because I could talk to people about almost anything and everything, but when it came to bringing up the subject of the Lord, man, it was just hard for me to start that. I wasn't bold for the Lord. And so my dad suggested, Jerry, you know what? You've identified that you have an issue with that. But he said, you know, the Bible, hey, watch this. Are we just saying the Bible has the answer? Do we believe the Bible has the answer? All right. So it doesn't just identify a problem. It gives a solution, a step-by-step solution. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So he said, why don't you do a Bible study? He said, I could give you the notes, but it's not going to mean as much if you don't do it yourself. And so I did a Bible study on the three words, bold, boldly, and boldness in the Bible, wrote down every verse where it was found and the Bible principle that it taught, and I came up with about 12 Bible principles, 12 things that if I began to do, it would increase boldness in my Christian life. You know, one of the first verses I found was, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are what? And you know what the Holy Spirit taught me when I got to that verse? I said, okay, why am I lacking boldness? Well, the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, sin will make a coward out of you. You know, habitual sin in your life that's not dealt with will make a coward out of you. Well, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. The righteous, you know what the Holy Spirit said? You really want boldness? You want Holy Spirit boldness? And you know what? Stop making excuses for some of the sin in your life, because it's robbing you of your courage. Hey, listen, it's hard to witness at work. Come on, gentlemen, it's hard to witness at work to the same guys that before lunch you were, you know, gossiping about other guys at work with, or listening to a dirty joke. I mean, you know, it's hard to speak up to them a little later on, give them that gospel track when they saw you sneaking off and hiding and taking a break when you shouldn't and seeing how much work you could get out of. Listen, if we don't get our act together, then it's going to rob us. And I just give you one principle there. I'm not going to teach that whole Bible study. You say, I'd like to know that. Well, why don't you do what I did? I can give you the notes. I'm going to sound like Robert Ross now. I can give you the notes, but it's going to mean a lot more if you'll just dig in there and look for it yourself, you know, and dig it out. And you'd be surprised. Say, preacher, did it work? Yes, the Bible works. I mean, literally within about a 6-month period, I went from being very timid in my ability to share the gospel and to talk about the Lord to not where I am now, but I mean a complete transformation in that area of my life. And as I continued to live out those principles, I became bolder and bolder and bolder in my faith. And if I find myself lacking that boldness, isn't it great that you can go right back to those notes and say, all right, let me review. Why all of a sudden am I not as bold as I used to be? And that's been something that's just, you know, well, that's just how I am. Well, the bones could have said, I'm sorry, Ezekiel, this is just how we are. This is how we are. God made us this way. No, he didn't. God's got something better for you. And so we got to stop saying things like, well, the Bible has the answers. If you've got a young person in your house and they've got a problem with a habitual sin in their life, it's one thing to keep pointing it out and keep punishing him for it. Why don't you get into the Word of God and then sit down with them and show them how through the Word of God they can overcome that sin in their life? And if you think about it, most good Bible teaching and preaching does not just identify a problem, but it offers a solution and hope to those who are bound by that sin or bound by that problem. That's kind of the job we have here. And that's what he says. He says here, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he said this, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. This is how I'm going to do it. That's the end goal. You don't have to be a bunch of dry, dead bones. You can be a marching army. But let me tell you the steps. I'll lay sinew upon you, we'll bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. So he breaks it down. And most things we need help with, we have to do a step at a time. There's a process to get from where we're at to where we need to be. You know, sinew simply means muscle. And you know, folks, if we're going to become an exceeding mighty army, what we need to do is go to the Word of God and find out how to develop spiritual strength. You know, it was said of John the Baptist, it was said of Jesus Christ, of both of them, they were strong in spirit. And so we have to have developed spiritual strength. There's a Bible formula for developing spiritual strength in your life. Then the flesh, the Bible says that it was the sinews, and then he'll bring up flesh upon you. That's fat. Yeah, fat. And you know, that's a mark of prosperity. I mean, that's a mark of health, healthiness. You know, sound doctrine produces sound Christians. Sound simply means healthy doctrine. There's a way, you know, we talk about, we can go to Psalms chapter 1. You know, what's the difference? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is a healthy tree that's producing fruit. How does that happen? How about this? Meditating on the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's a way, listen, to get spiritually strong. There's a way to get spiritually healthy. And then that skin that comes upon him, the last step there, you know your skin, how important that is? You know your skin is that which separates you, the person you really are, your vulnerable parts from the germs and everything else out here in the world. Separation is the next step. Now, listen, what I'm saying, I'm trying to use this as an illustration, kind of teaching through it because I like this story so much. But I'm saying, I want you to understand that God is not just someone that's saying, this is what's wrong with you, this is what's wrong with you, this is what's wrong with you. He's like, yes, you have to be willing to see what's wrong with you. But you know what? I can get that right in you. And if you'll follow the process and if you'll trust in me, I can change that area of your life. Some of you, you maybe right now, the Holy Spirit saying, preacher, here's kind of my weak area in my Christian life. Wouldn't it be awesome if you just let God make it the strongest area of your Christian life? And you know, that's possible. Okay, if a bunch of bones can walk out an exceeding great army, then I suppose, you know, if that kind of miracle can happen, then you know what? God can take the mess we are and turn us into a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ to make a difference. Even though I've gotten into this pretty deep, deeper than I thought I would, I want to get back to the original premise. Okay, Ezekiel, can these bones live? You're in by yourself in a valley of dry bones. Are you going to speak for me, stand for me, listen to me and obey me and impact these bones? Or are you just going to become part of the bones that are in the valley? And I think one of the most amazing, kind of like light bulb moments in my Christian life in my late teens, probably 19, 20 years of age, was the discovery that God could use me to change the way people feel, to change the way people think, to change the way people see things. And not because it's Jerry Ross, but God can use me. And through the preaching of his word, you can watch people being transformed. And man, when you begin to see that happen and God lets you have about that much of a part of it, it's something you want to be involved in. And let's go back now, thermometer or thermostat, okay? Are we just reflecting the temperature of the room? Or are we changing the temperature of the room? So let me give you some illustrations on this. You know what, folks? Listen, every place you go in life, there's a temperature in that room. Okay? You know, think about this. Sometimes, I need to probably say this to our men again, and I know sometimes I sound like them, but this is kind of part of my job exhortation. We're losing our amens around here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? We need more amens. I got Sunday morning, I got first-time visitors, I'm up here pouring my heart out, and half of you are looking at me like you're half asleep. Well, listen, I can do everything I can to try to change the temperature of the room, but you know what? You need to be a part of that process, too. And you know what? I can preach without amens. Trust me, I've been in that situation enough times in my life. And I can change the temperature of the room with the amens, but it's a lot harder than it is if I have them. And listen, I mean this. I want every one of us, and this is mostly our core group, you need to evaluate, you know, what you're bringing in every Sunday morning. Okay? Well, I'm tired. Well, welcome to the world. We're all tired. Well, I've had a busy week. I love it when people tell me that. I had a busy week. Well, shoot, you got the excuse then. You don't have to be enthusiastic or excited or sing out loud or smile or shake somebody's hand because you are the only one in America that had a busy week. Anybody not have a busy week? Can I meet you after church and learn your secret? Because I would love to discover how to not have a busy week. Now, you know, come on, tired men rule the world. Okay, I mean, what do you think this thing is? So, well, I don't feel well. Well, folks, I don't feel well. Okay, there's a lot of Sundays I don't feel well. You know, I'm sitting here, now I'm going to change the temperature room, bring you all down. But, you know, I stayed back in the office. I'm not going to all out. I just didn't feel good. I'm going to go to AmbuCare after the service this morning because I think I may have some type of, I don't know, kidney infection or something, but I'm hurting. okay, did I come out here and lead assembly? Did I get them kids excited? Okay, I'm sorry, but you know what? Most of us don't feel well most of the time. Most of us are tired most of the time. So what are we going to do? Give in to our flesh? Or let the Spirit of God take very imperfect vessels and use us to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, and so, you know, this is, if you could get this light to come on, it's amazing what you can do. You know, you can show up to work tomorrow and change the temperature at your workplace. You can change the temperature of the room. Okay, you can go in where there's a bunch of complaining, and you know what? You can begin to all of a sudden count your blessing. Hey, I hear what you're saying, and I know there's problems around, there's problems everywhere, but let me tell you something I love about working here, and I'm going to tell you something. You know what? There's a lot of guys that would wish they had our job. And you know what? I get to provide for my family, and you know, I get it. There's problems, but I don't know why standing around talking about it all the time makes any difference. Man, let's make a difference. Let's change it. Let's do the best we can do. And you know, that's the guy who's going to get hired as a foreman, not the guy sitting over at the table grumbling with all the other guys. You know what? Leadership. Everybody's looking for leadership that can walk in and change the temperature of the room. And you know what? You walk into a situation, man, and listen, you know, I did 6 years on the docks of Chicago loading trucks for UPS with a bunch of heathens. But you know what? When I got hired in there and I walked on my dock every night, I changed the temperature of the room. Right. You know, one thing I did was I walked in with the King James Holy Bible and laid it on the desk every single day where we laid our stuff, right there where we loaded the trucks. And they had to stand there and stare at that Bible. You know, it's amazing walking in with a Bible and laying it down, what that does to change the atmosphere around you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's legal. You can do it. Okay. It's not against the law. You can only have your church or your Bible at home or at church, you know, and the other times you got to hide it, you know. You know, we're giving in. You know, and if they're in there and somebody's cussing and carrying on, you know what I start to do? I start singing a Christian song, or I'd start quoting scripture. I'd say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Guys, let me tell you something. Sorry you're having a bad day, but God's good. Amen. Well, you're going to get a reputation. Well, I hope so. We call it a testimony where I come from. And yet you've got to decide, you know, are you going to, every atmosphere that you come into, you know, one of the things we teach on in our staff training is, you know, I remember one of the monitors when we used to have the school down here, we were doing staff training. I heard them talking before the staff training. They're like, I just wonder what kind of spirit the school's going to have this year. I just pray that the Lord, that we'll have a good spirit in school. And so I got up and I said, listen, I heard what you all were talking about. Listen, the kids don't set the spirit of the school. We don't sit around hoping we have a good spirit. We create that good spirit. Okay? And you can do that in your home. Okay? Why are the inmates running the asylum? Okay? Come on. You set the tone of your home. You set the spiritual level of your home. You set the spiritual level of children's choir. You set the spiritual level of Bible club. You set the spiritual level of a Sunday school classroom or junior church, or by the way you walk in, conduct yourself. Listen, if you're not excited about Jesus, nobody else is going to get excited about Jesus. But listen, don't set out there. Come on, most of you have been saved. You're measuring it in decades. Don't set out there and watch your pastor and the song leader and a handful of people struggle to create that, and you just sit there and stare at them. Listen, if people come to this church and they sense something different, they can find that spirit in any deadhead church in the area. But they ought to walk in, and there ought to be something different about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, from the time they get out of their car, they ought to sense something different by the smiles, by the laughter, by the friendliness, by people going right to them. You know, don't sit there and stare at new visitors as they walk in. If they walk in with kids and obviously they don't know, you know how many times I'm up here leading singing in open assembly, and there's two or three kids standing in the middle of the aisle, and they don't know where to go, and they're brand new, and you all are staring at them. Could the Holy Spirit move one of you? What are you talking about? I'm talking about jumping in and creating the kind of spirit that makes this place a place they want to come back to. You know, we've got, talked to Brother Gordon yesterday, and your parents, I'm coming after a couple of our teenagers. I'm tired of the drama. I'm tired of it amongst our girls. It's not all of them. It's one or two of them. Oh, somebody's a friend with that person, and now I'm mad because they're a friend, and I'm you know what? Are you seven? I got a young lady that was doing great, and she hadn't been here in about 4 weeks. And I heard one of our girls, our core girls, was screaming at her and bawling her out, making her cry. That's what I heard. I'm going to go see her this week. I'm going to find out. Come on. And if that's true, I'm going to be knocking on your door. We work too hard to get bus teams in here and begin to see their lives change for one of our kids that are growing up in a Christian home to act like a stinking heathen right. And create drama and hurt that kid, and we may never get her back. Right. Now, again, I heard it. I'll find out. But I think, you know what, parents? You need to be finding out. Right. Okay? If you're creating drama amongst the women of the church, your girl's going to create drama amongst the teen girls. If you're gossiping amongst the women, then where do you think she's going to learn it from? Amen. Come on. Here's an idea. Let's be Christians. Let's be Christians. You know, good night. Be friends with everybody. Love everybody. Don't walk around like you're jealous and possessive. And if you can't control everybody the way you want to control them, then you're going to walk around and pout. I'm tired of pouting teenagers. Okay? I'm going to start calling them on it. Okay? Why don't you get to them before I do? Okay? Say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm changing the thermostat right now. I just turned the thermostat. Okay? And that's kind of what I'm supposed to do here. Turn the thermostat. All right? We don't become our immature children. We bring them up to learn maturity and how to live and how to treat people. Good. I feel better. Just turn that up a little bit. Amen. It's what we do. You know, it's what we got to do. We got to hit reset buttons all the time, folks. You know why? Because we're all human. I mean, my flesh would rather grumble than it would praise God. That's right. Come on, my flesh, my carnality would rather find something to complain about than something to positive to talk about. Right. But every single person in this church contributes to the spirit of this church. Yes, sir. Right. Everybody contributes to the spirit of this church. Everybody contributes. So make sure that you're contributing in a positive way. Hey, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Well, Lord, I guess if you help me, they can. What do you want me to do? I want you to preach to them. And you tell them, yes, that's where you're at. But that is not where you have to stay. And I've had that conversation as a youth pastor. When I was a youth pastor for 11 years, I've had that conversation individually with young people. I've gone down to youth training hour and had that conversation with the whole group at times and said, let me tell you, everybody look right up here. We're going to have a real heart-to-heart, honest talk about where we're at right now, and we're going to call a spade, and we're going to end some things right here. But wait a minute. This is where you're at, but this is not where you have to be. And if you'll listen to me, I can teach you and help you get to where you need to be. And so that's what we do. I hope that helps you in whatever arena that you work with, the people that you work. We can change the temperature of enthusiasm. Let's do that. Blessed Old Baptist Church is a singing church. Hey, let's not slack off on that. Come on, let's not slack off on it. Okay, have you been on vacation? Some of you in and out? Have you visited other churches? Almost without a doubt, Brother Decker that came and preached a few weeks ago with Massillon Baptist College, and he came here on a Wednesday night. I saw him down at the Sword Conference, and I said, first time I've seen him since he'd been here, and I listened to it online, and Brother, you helped our people. Thank you for being so transparent, sharing that story of your son, and you know, what a blessing. And he's like, Brother, there's something. He said, my wife couldn't come, and I went home, and I said, honey, you missed it. That's what he said. He said, I told her, you missed it. He said, I walked in that church. There's electricity, man. He said, they started singing, and he said, I'm literally looking around like, what in the world? Now, folks, listen, it's good that we have that. And I want to thank you for helping to produce that. But you know what? We can lose that by degrees. I don't mean overnight, but it just starts cooling down. And so what does leadership do? What did Brother Tom do all through the years? You know what? He kept a pulse on that. And you know what? There's times he got after us. And you know what? We needed it. That's what leadership's got to do, okay? Don't be afraid. Whoever God has put underneath you to help grow in the Lord, don't be afraid about confronting them and being honest with them about where they're at, but then also teaching them and training them that they, because most people that's not where they ought to be are happy being there. Most of them are, not if they're truly saved. And a lot of them are frustrated with themselves as much as you may be frustrated. But you know, if you don't know how to get out of the rut you're in, then it's hard. But that's what leadership does. It comes alongside there. Change the temperature of enthusiasm. Let's get our amens back, church. Come on now. Let's get our smiles back. Hey, even on my dumb jokes, just laugh as if they were funny, okay? And that's where you're going to have to exercise some character. Hey, I remember taking our teens out to Rhode Island to help Brother Chapman. We took a group of teens out there several years ago to help Brother Chapman and just kind of help him with a revival meeting. And you know what? That was a great trip. And were you on that trip? Did you go there? You remember when we went in that Five Guys? Yeah. And how many of you now that are no longer teenagers were in that? Were you in there? You in there? Adrian was in there, I think. And so they went into Five Guys, and I'm like, you know, and you go in there, and people are sitting around, and they're, you know, it's a restaurant and all this stuff. And I said, all right, man. I walk up to the counter, and I'm like, hey, we're going to a big group of people. All these workers in the back of bus unloads, and they're like, oh, my goodness sakes, you know. Okay, anytime you bring a group in, the entire, I don't care if it's McDonald's, Five Guys, whatever, people panic because all of a sudden, you know, they went from being slow, hardly any work to do, back there kidding around to 25, 30 people standing in line wanting an order. So, you know, it's easy for them to think, oh, my goodness, this, you know, they panic. They don't own the place. They're not excited, okay? They're making minimum wage, all right? And so I'd walk up and I'd say, man, look what I did to you. You know, I just go right up and talk to them about it. Look what I just did to you. Are you guys okay? You want me to jump across there? I can make hamburgers, you know. No, seriously, give me one of those hats. And now I'm loosening them up. I'll tell you what, if you guys do a good job for us, I said, we'll tip you. You ever get tipped at a fast food place? We're going to tip you. Oh, you are? Yeah. I said, you're going to believe this. These kids can sing. And they haven't even started ordering yet. I'm talking. They can sing, yeah, oh, they can sing, man. You want to hear them sing? And they're kind of looking at each other like, sure. You know, there's five or six men over here, people sitting in the dining room, some men waiting over here, waiting for their order. And I said, kids, come up here. And they all come crowding up, and they start singing to these workers. And you know what? These guys over here waiting for their, they all got their cell phones out, and they're videotaping these kids singing it, and they're singing about the Lord. And you know what? We're able to leave them tracks after we get done. We take good care. Listen, I don't believe, I believe that for the few minutes we were there, for the 30, 40, 45 minutes we were there, we completely changed the temperature of that and left an impact and impression for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I know you don't wander around with a busload of teenagers, but we can still individually. It'd be kind of cool, though. But we, well, maybe the Morrises do, I... That's what they were laughing at. It took me a minute, yeah. Some of you travel around with a busload of teens. But you know what? You say, well, I can't have that kind of impact. You could still have an impact, okay? And, you know, stop ordering food. Listen, that waitress, anybody ever waitress in here? How many of you have waitressed before? You're the ones that have the most mercy on a waitress, don't you? I've been out with Christian people and been embarrassed by the way they treat them, Christians, by the way they talk to them, how picky they are about everything. They almost determine they're going to send it back and find something wrong with it when it comes. I mean, I've had them say to me, one guy turned a coffee cup over and said, if you want a good tip, I better not see the bottom of that coffee cup. If you want to, what? She's trying to keep up with 14 different tables and you've already put the pressure on her. And what does that mean? If you serve me well enough, oh my goodness, let's get you a throne. Come Because everyone in the world needs to serve you. That's what it's all about. How much are you serving her? Okay, I mean it. I know we can afford some things we couldn't. And I'm not saying everybody's in the same place. But I'll tell you, everywhere we go out and eat, we treat those people good. And I don't mean, 18%, 15%, 18%. I, a lot of times, am leaving a tip equivalent to half of what I paid for my meal. And I'm talking about when there's more than one of us. You know, if you're going to leave a gospel tract, don't leave a buck with it. Are you insane? Yeah, but I didn't get good service. Well, then that could be an opportunity for you to encourage a young lady that obviously is having a tough day. Okay, it's called grace, unmerited favor. God gives it to us every day. We can't pass some of that on to somebody. I mean, we'll talk more about this because I didn't even get past the introduction. But this is, I just believe this with all my heart, that I can have an eternal impact on people every day of my life. Not just when I'm standing in a pulpit, not when I'm just, teaching Sunday school. I can interact with common people in an everyday situation and have some kind of an eternal impact in their life. Hey, you know what? It's hard out there now. It's tough. Have you noticed? People are struggling. You know what they need to see from us? They need to see some thermostats that come in and say, everybody's having a bad day and everybody's in a bad mood, and all of a sudden this family comes in. That lady came in. This man came in. And you know what? We saw the kindness of the Lord. We saw the grace of God. They're going to figure out pretty quick you're a Christian. There's a difference in them. How can they be like that when all the rest of us are always like this? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, use us each and every day of our lives. Such a wonderful opportunity we have, Lord, just to be a blessing. Just to take somebody's day that's not going well and just flip-flop it. Just turn it. Help them. So I pray, Lord, that you'd use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.